Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A chapter has closed. Or has it? This is Wretched Radio. No doubt you have heard the news that Dr. John MacArthur is currently not thinking about us. He's with his Savior. He's rejoicing. Faith has been made sight. What he longed for is now reality. And I speak with a great deal of certainty when I say he wouldn't want to come back. As many people who would love for him to still be walking amongst us, he wouldn't want to return. Why? Because he is now with his Jesus. He is now with the one that he has attempted to shine the spotlight on for 50 plus years. John MacArthur is fine. He's just fine. But we're still here. And we recognize that when a giant finally goes home to be with his Savior, it feels like, oh no, this is just devastating and it's not good. It is most certainly a loss. But might I suggest, even though this giant no longer walks among us, his footprints are indelibly etched into the history of evangelical Christianity. This is perhaps a joyous way to think about the passing of John MacArthur. The Lord gave you and me the honor of witnessing a giant. These guys don't come along every day. And please, before I say anything else nice about John MacArthur, trust me, he would be the first to say anything that he accomplished, not I, but Christ who lives within me. Let's never forget that as we eulogize him or any other man or woman. When we see something good, it's Jesus. When we see a great thing accomplished, it's Jesus. And so as we talk about the great things that are the legacy of Dr. John MacArthur, let us not lose sight of the fact it is Jesus responsible for all of those accomplishments. John was a tool. Now, to be certain, he was a tool that was used mightily. The things that he has been involved in over the years are absolutely staggering. I don't know where the man slept. He was just involved in a lot of things. And one of the reasons for his accomplishments, it should be noted, is because of all of the great people that surrounded him. Oh, John didn't do all of this by himself. Oh, he did his studying. He did his preaching. But Masters University, Masters Academy International, Grace Community Church, there were, I think GCC has 100 plus elders. There are so many people who walked alongside of him and supported him and did so much. Nevertheless, he was the leader. He was the captain of the ship. But he was a captain that was only appointed by the commander, Jesus Christ. And the commander used this captain, wow, expansively, in such a way that I believe that John will be quoted just like we quote, pick your church father, you're Augustine, or is it Augustine? St. Augustine, that's Florida. Augustine. Then he'll be Martin Lloyd-Jones. Whenever Charles Spurgeon continues to be quoted regularly, in fact, there's not a pastor on the planet who doesn't struggle to not quote Charles Spurgeon for any sermon that he preaches. John will be like that. That's his legacy. It will linger for really centuries. His commentaries will be used. His study Bible. I still haven't found a superior study Bible than the MacArthur Study Bible. He was a giant. He was one who left big footprints. And we don't have to be concerned that those footprints are going to go away. But I do think that it's worth considering how we should mourn for the loss of this giant. I think it's important to recognize that we need to mourn carefully, because I wonder if many people are mourning out of concern that a great leader like John MacArthur is no longer on this side of the veil. That we're mourning, perhaps, maybe, a little bit fearfully. We don't want to mourn fearfully. Remember, John was a tool in the hands of the carpenter. John did his work empowered by the Holy Spirit. John was only able to do these things because Jesus Christ ordained it. He was one who, during this epoch, dare I say dispensation, although it seems that word is just being just slammed these days on the internet machine, that John MacArthur was used in this period as a part of Jesus building his church. So rather than thinking, oh boy, what are we going to do now? How's about Jesus used John to put another brick or two into the building of his church? I know I mixed my metaphor, but you get the point. And so we celebrate that. We rejoice. We don't mourn fearfully. Oh no, what's going to happen to evangelical Christianity? We shouldn't mourn that way. Nor, if this is the case for any, should we mourn selfishly. I always listen to John, and now I won't be getting fresh material. Well, let's perhaps alter our perspective and look at all of the material that we can still enjoy by this man. It's just volumes of it. And we can enjoy that and continue to grow from that. But that doesn't negate the fact that we shouldn't mourn personally. He's a loss for us as individuals, not just for the church, but for us. You benefited from John. I benefited from John. That's a loss. And there's a sadness. And so we grieve because of our personal loss. Now, to be sure, there are those who are grieving because their relationship with John was more personal than others. And I do believe we would do well to remember those people. His family, those who worked arm in arm with him in ministry, Phil Johnson, Jay Flowers, Abner Chow, Nathan Busnitz, Mike Ricard, all of the elders, we should be praying for them, because they're mourning even more deeply than we are. So mourn we will, but we will not mourn because we're being selfish or fearful. We will mourn while simultaneously rejoicing. Look at what Jesus did. And maybe that's one final observation about the mourning process that we should go through as we mourn the loss of Dr. John MacArthur, that this mourning really should simultaneously be filled with gratitude. Look at what Jesus has done. Master's Academy, there's one institution. Master's Seminary, there's another institution. Grace to you, there's an institution. And you could even argue Grace Community Church. Wow, Lord. Wow. Did you ever use that man? Jesus did amazing work through John MacArthur. So if you look at John and you're like, wow, that was so awesome. And the preaching and the hundreds of thousands of hours of sermons and the commentary sets and the books. Amazing. Don't forget who really did that great work. King Jesus. And so we want to find our balance as we mourn. We want to make sure that we do it as biblically as we can. But I do feel safe in saying that John would not want us to mourn that he is no longer here. To be sure, he loved his family, his friends, his ministries, fellowship, singing, all of those things. But these are mere, they're like crayon drawings. He's got the masterpiece in heaven, and he is fully content being exactly where he is right now. And I know that he would want us, even as we speak well of him, which I suspect would actually make him blush and cringe on the inside, that we always do it, realizing and recognizing the one who made John MacArthur and used him mightily is the one who deserves all the credit. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortas Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortas Institute. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Gloss, and real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortas Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it. Use it. Share it. And then partner with us at FortasInstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortasInstitute.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortasInstitute.org. That's FortasInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. 6 brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortasPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortasPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us eulogize. Well, this is Wretched Radio, 6:17 p.m., July the 14th. John MacArthur passed into glory. The one whose mind he sought to understand his entire life was now in front of him. And now he knows. And now he understands fully about his Savior, because John MacArthur, after 50 years of preaching, line by line, verse by verse, through the, it took him 42 years to get through the New Testament. 42 years. And he just skimmed the surface. That's just a staggering thought. There are very few people who sought to know the mind of Christ more fully than John MacArthur. And he didn't even come close. He's nowhere, was nowhere near the bottom. Well, right now, guess what he's experiencing? Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper knowledge of his Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who are left behind, we should eulogize him and the God who empowered him to do 42 years of expository preaching through the New Testament, which incidentally, I think is another one of the unrecognized contributions of John MacArthur. His emphasis on expository preaching, his emphasis that a man shouldn't have an idea because he saw something on Netflix and went, hey, that could be a sermon, and then goes and finds a Bible verse to support it. Well, sort of. He rejected that, and instead, he believed, rightly so, you don't want to know the thoughts of some dude. You want to know the mind of Christ. And the only way to do that is by studying his mind revealed in the Word. And so he was a firm proponent in line by line, verse by verse. And I would actually suggest this. Could be wrong. I have read enough of the classic sermons of the theological giants that preceded John MacArthur. And they are so rich with scripture. They bleed Bible. Just always quoting scripture, always referencing other texts. Having said that, the emphasis on making sure we understand the text to the degree that John MacArthur did, I think was novel. And when I say novel, I'm not implying that it was wrong because, oh, it's something new. And typically stuff that's new is usually not good. But I can't think of anybody. Okay, there's probably been some. But as a trend, as a movement, expository preaching is his trend. Evangelism is Ray Comfort's trend. Because of his emphasis on evangelism, it's become a movement. And ditto with John MacArthur and expository preaching. It's become a movement that we would know the mind of Christ because we dive into the Word deeply, faithfully, rejecting all of the infusion of funny and hip and cool and groovy. We'll be releasing a YouTube video probably today. And it's not going to be addressing the expository preaching angle and contribution of Dr. John MacArthur. But it does, I think, serve as a manifestation of an attribute of John that I am going to be focusing on in that video. And that is, he was a dignified man. Dignified. Do you want to know what that word semnos means? When Titus encourages older men, younger men, and women to be dignified. It is an admonition for all of us to be dignified. Well, you say, what does that look like? Look at John MacArthur. Look at John MacArthur. That's what it looks like to be dignified without being some sort of Christian stick in the mud. He wasn't. Believe me, he wasn't. And that, I think, is another attribute worth studying. Nevertheless, he was a man who comported himself in a manner that said, this is serious. Did he ever laugh? Of course he did. We've all seen that. Did he ever joke? Yeah, we've all heard that. We've all experienced that. But that didn't compromise the fact that he knew he was about eternal business. He knew that he was entrusted with the souls of men. Now, of course, we know that he doesn't determine their eternal destiny, but as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd Jesus Christ, he is charged with protecting them, feeding them, serving them, so that they too hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that means his judgment will be far stricter than the judgment of his sheep. And he knew it. And it made a difference. Now, maybe you're thinking, "Well, that's well and good if you're a pastor, but that does not apply to me." Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Consider this image. And I know it's back in the pastoral context, but it will apply to all of us. And to do a split screen. On the left side, it's John MacArthur. We don't even need to hear the volume. We just see him at the pulpit, kind of head down, just standing steady, firm, hiding behind a pulpit, not in cowardice, but because he didn't want to be in the spotlight, going line by line, verse by verse, and then do a split screen. Put Michael Todd on the other side. Do you know who that preacher is? That silly man? Put Stephen Furtick on the right side, traipsing around in his pretty sweaters, doing his silly bits on stage, using a bow and arrow, a fishing reel, whatever proper gizmo he thinks is needed to make him interesting. Now, got the two images? You're on your deathbed. Who are you going to call? It ain't Ghostbusters, and it ain't one of those silly preachers. You're going to want a dignified man. You're going to want to, you want that guy on the left. Now, I recognize we are not all literally on our deathbeds. And every moment of life isn't an earnest ponderance of eternity. But every day, one more grain of sand drops from the hourglass. We are all marching toward that day. And that means that a shepherd is about serious business every day. Now you say, okay, I get it, for a pastor. So he should maybe look a little more like John, maybe even from the level of clothing to just his comportment to how he handles himself. No, this applies to all men and all women. Here's a question. If you were in need spiritually, and you got a choice between hipster dude on the right and John MacArthur dignified on the left, you would pick the guy on the left. Why? Because he looks like one who can be called upon, who is prepared for the moment, who is prepared for a heavy, weighty responsibility. And that is why every man and woman should strive to be semnos, comporting ourselves in such a way. And please note, this doesn't mean we never have fun. It does mean that we're not silly people. And it does mean that as people observe our lives, they think to themselves, whether they articulate it in their brains or not, if I'm in need, that's the one. If I'm hurting, I'm calling him or her. If I'm confused, there's one who can bring clarity. And I think that is why we should study men like, he's not the only one, like John MacArthur, who of course studied his Savior, just like Paul, who said, "Follow me only as I follow Jesus Christ." Nevertheless, we get to have ourselves a tangible model. Look, we can just see it right there. You want to know what semnos looks like? Look at John MacArthur, a man you would call upon in your time of need. Maybe this is helpful. John MacArthur, boy, I hope there's not a picture of this out there, because I think I'm right about this. It's hard to imagine John MacArthur in the church dunk tank, isn't it? Go ahead, throw the ball at your pastor so that he can fall into some really funky water, so that we can raise money for the whatever effort that the church has going on there. So I think that it's safe to summarize this by saying John MacArthur was not a dunk tank pastor. He was a man who was earnest, serious, dignified, and he really brought us to a new level of preaching that I don't think that there has ever been a bigger movement or trend toward. And that is the trend, and let's hope that it is one that endures forever, the trend of expository preaching. For that, and for so many more reasons, we eulogize John MacArthur as we eulogize the one who empowered him. What a gift Jesus gave us, that we were given the privilege of living in the time and the land of a giant. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We pause our regular news coverage to honor a giant of the faith. Dr. John MacArthur entered glory last night. The 86-year-old pastor spent over half of a century faithfully expositing God's word. His passing marks the end of an era, but his legacy of biblical fidelity will echo through generations. For over 55 years, Dr. MacArthur stood behind the pulpit of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, doing what he believed every pastor should do, simply reading and explaining the scripture. Unleashing God's truth one verse at a time wasn't just a tagline for his Grace to You ministry, it was his life's mission. Starting in 1969 as a 29-year-old preacher at a struggling church of 400, he built a ministry that would eventually reach millions across the globe through his radio broadcasts, his hundreds of books in publication, and the best-selling MacArthur Study Bible that sold over 4 million copies. What set Dr. MacArthur apart wasn't flashy sermons or even cultural relevance. It was his stubborn refusal to do anything but exposit scripture. He spent over 30 hours weekly in study, preached 40-minute sermons that felt like 10, no personal stories, no pop psychology. He didn't chase trends. And as he often said, a good sermon should still be good 50 years later, because it's not about the preacher or the times. It's about the timeless truth of God's word. His commitment to biblical authority meant Dr. MacArthur never shied away from controversy. When the culture embraced feminism, he preached Titus 2. When charismatics claimed new revelations, he called it strange fire and defended the sufficiency of scripture. When the state of California tried to shut down churches during COVID, Dr. MacArthur led the resistance, declaring that Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church. Critics have often called him harsh or even cruel, but Dr. MacArthur understood something our therapeutic age has forgotten. Sometimes love requires confrontation. Easy believism, he warned, was sending millions to hell with false assurance. That's not something that's harsh. That's pastoral love, willing to risk reputation for the souls of men. Dr. MacArthur once said he wanted to die with his boots on, preaching to the end. And though illness kept him from the pulpit his final months, his life's work stands on one long sermon, a testament that God's word is sufficient, authoritative, and powerful. In an age of evangelical compromise, he remained an immovable rock. And though one particular lion of expository preaching has been silenced, he left behind a generation whose roar will be echoing through pulpits for generations as faithful men continue to unleash God's word one verse at a time. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You rock. This is Wretched Radio. Some of you did your homework and you did it exceedingly well. You may recall last week I said, help! Trying to work on a presentation for young people who are dealing with deconstruction, the latest trend in evangelicalism. We used to call it apostasy, but now today we call it deconstructing the faith. And I want to think this thing through really well. And my current premise and I think the argument that I'm going to put forward to young people at Oklahoma University is you're not deconstructing reality. You're not deconstructing the real thing. And I think it would be helpful to give an illustration of that, but I couldn't think of one. So I asked you to come up with one, and you did. And they're really good. And I'm still waiting for all of them to come in, and I'm going to compile them. Really good stuff. Thank you. I am reminded again. There are a lot of smart people out there, and that's really scary and intimidating. So thank you for sending those in. Looking forward to this a lot. This fall, we're gonna do a trial run to go to university campuses to see if kids will gather to hear an adult lecture. Not a gotcha. You look stupid. Gonna get YouTube views sort of presentation. No, we go because we care about the kids. We go because we want the kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ. We want their lives to be better. We want them to live a life that has meaning because it's in alignment with reality as defined by God himself, which is always the better road to walk. And so we're going to these campuses. We're going to talk about different issues. I get to talk about deconstruction, and I appreciate so much that you sent these illustrations. They are going to be helpful. Young people do not know the basics. They are deconstructing pizza parties. They're deconstructing silly sermonettes that were delivered to them. And interestingly, one of the themes that I'm reading about, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, the whole idea of oppression, this cultural Marxist idea that there's two categories of people. There's the oppressor and there's the oppressed. And if anybody's oppressing you, which means they contradict you, they try to hold you back, you do not get to express your individual self, which is the best part of you. What's in there? You got to be able to show it. And anybody who tries to curb that, they're an oppressor and they're toxic and we need boundaries and we need to cut them off. So what does Christianity do? Well, it's got a lot of them there statements that say, this is what you're not supposed to do. And they find that to be a chief crime. It's about being told what to do that contradicts what I want to do. Because my feelings, they drive my reality. My feelings actually trump science, logic, reason, what is obvious to anybody. Feelings are sacrosanct, and anybody who makes my feelings not feel the way that I want to feel, or anybody who tells me my feelings are bad or wrong, there's probably no higher crime these days that can be committed. It's a worldview that it's been alive and well for centuries. It goes back, I'm sure, further than Jean-Jacques Rousseau, but he certainly was one of the chief proponents of letting the insides dictate the outsides. So Christianity comes along and says, no, you can't do that with your body. Oppressor, deconstruct, cast off, get rid of them. And I think the reason is because they don't understand what God's rules are. Furthermore, I don't think that they understand who God is. And I don't think they... In fact, frankly, I fear many of us have kind of lost, perhaps, the core essence of who God is. Got to be careful with that because all of his attributes are equal. There's not like more than others, but they're all grand and supreme. But I would argue, and I think I've got biblical support, that knowing that God so loved the world, in this is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation for our sins, because God is love. I don't think they've heard that. as much as they should. And it doesn't mean that they were going to a church that was just, on and on about LGBTQ issues or railing on CRT. They probably just didn't hear it because we don't talk about it the way that we should. I think maybe, possibly, I shared this with you. I found that there was a little bit of a debate in the interaction between Jesus Christ and Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 26. Do you remember what Jesus said to Judas when he approached him with the cohort, which is probably about 600 soldiers? I mean, they wanted to get Jesus. They were going to make sure that they didn't drop this ball. So they send a Roman cohort, temple guards. It's a mingling of Roman and Jewish authorities because they had conspired together because of the threat and the danger of Jesus. For the Romans, it could mean insurrection and instability. For the Jewish people, the religious leaders, it could mean, hey, I'm not going to make as much money. Hey, I'm not going to get the accolades in the marketplace. They hated him. They hated Jesus. So they send this army led by Judas, who was going to identify this one with a kiss. What did Jesus say to him? Friend. By the way, that's another way that we can love an unlovable world. Jesus loved Judas? The one who betrayed him with a kiss? We got to study that. We don't have a hope of loving the world unless we see Jesus loving the worst of the world. Anybody worse than Judas Iscariot? Has anybody committed a greater crime than Judas Iscariot? I don't think so. I can't think of it. You think, well, but they've slaughtered people like when the Roman Catholic Church and the Crusades. Not even close to what Judas did by betraying his rabbi with a kiss. Oh, and there were a number of commentators who brought out, okay, got to be careful here with this word friend, because it isn't a warm, affectionate term. It's more like you're a companion. And they said it absolutely is. Hey, what you're doing here, Judas, is bad. But it was also an act of love, calling Judas to come to his senses. Why? Because Jesus loved Judas Iscariot. Does anybody love Judas Iscariot? Jesus did. Now, fast forward. This is another possibility. Jesus is in the midst of this ridiculous trial. Preached about this on Sunday, that it was a total kangaroo court. This was like Montel Williams sitting in for Judge Judy, or Jerry. It was Jerry Springer sitting in for whatever the judge is. There's another one. Who, Judge Judy? There's another one. What was that guy's name? He was the original one.
Judge Joe Brown.
Okay, sure. Let's just work with that.
He's from Memphis.
Local show, maybe. Caiaphas was the high priest. And his father-in-law, who had been the high priest, they were both Sadducees. They hated Jesus. And he was threatening their little temple business when he turned over the tables. And they sent the Roman cohort with the temple guards to arrest him with a predetermined verdict. He's going to be guilty of something. We just need to figure out how to do it. We just got to get him on something. And the text is fascinating. It says that the religious leaders, they sought false witnesses. That is illegal. You can't be a false witness. You could be killed for that. Actually, what you were supposed to receive, if you were a false witness, you were supposed to get the punishment that you wanted the person you're accusing of getting. So here it is. The religious leaders are pulling the string. They're the one propping up the false teachers. And we're told that they contradicted one another and they were making no traction on this because they couldn't find any dirt on him. What should have happened to the religious leaders? They should have been executed the way they wanted Jesus executed. Furthermore, do you remember when Caiaphas uttered that oath, by the word of the living God, I adjure you? So he's swearing to get Jesus to swear about what he wants to find him guilty on. You can't use blasphemous oaths. Check in the illegal box. Again, you weren't supposed to be trying a criminal at night. They did. You weren't supposed to be trying a criminal in your house. You were supposed to be a half a mile away on the Temple Mount. Everything about it was a farce. Everything about it was illegal. And Jesus, I think, in a last-ditch effort, says, I am God, and I'm going to return in the clouds and judge you. Was it a threat? Absolutely. But was it also an effort to reach Caiaphas? I think it was. Why? Because not only did Jesus love Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him, he loved Caiaphas, the corrupt high priest who would condemn him. This is Wretched Radio.
Do you want to do more evangelism, but you don't know quite where to start? Well, you could wait for the perfect moment. You could go to another seminar, or here's a crazy thought, you could actually go do it. Now through September, college campuses across America are going to be the front lines of gospel outreach, and you can be a part of it. You're in Play the Man. It's Todd Friel's short biblical resource that helps young men fight pornography God's way. The host of Wretched Radio and TV has created something extremely special. This is a gospel-centered booklet that's not dancing around the issues. And this isn't the latest tips and tricks from self-help gurus either. This is soul-saving truth that's been working for, 2,000 years? Show them what biblical masculinity really looks like. Play the Man is a resource that's going to do exactly that. It's going to point men to Jesus Christ. You can order free cards right now. Yes, I said free at fortisinstitute.org/playtheman. This fall, your campus becomes your mission field.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? I think we've all stood in that gap sometimes. Our theology, rock solid. Our hearts, they're still learning how to play catch up. And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it. He's the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and of course, the host of the Integrated podcast at Fortis Plus, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Here's what Dr. Krotz has learned and what he's going to show you in his Fortis Forum. God uses everything, even our suffering, to move His truth from our heads to our hearts. If you're ready to turn doctrine into devotion, your heart's waiting, and so is this Fortis Forum hosted by Dr. John Krotz. It's called Head to Heart, and it's available now on Fortis Plus.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to His people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to His people through His body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Some good news. You better brace you. We're not used to good news. This is Wretched Radio. Couldn't we all use greater doses of good news these days? A good news story number 1, if you recall, Baylor University. They found themselves in the social media frying pan when they accepted a grant of $630,000 to study LGBTQIA+ individuals in congregational settings. And everybody went, okay, it's a liberal organization that gave the money. They're trying to infiltrate another school in an attempt to try to persuade Christians to become more liberal. Russell Moore, David French. Ah, Jimmy, I'm so... Could you just fill the time? I need to take a sip of my Fresco.
Okay, all right. You just go ahead and get a sip of the Fresco.
Something was stuck right there. Well, guess what? For whatever reason, good news, they're sending the money back. The letter was distributed from the office of the president to the Baylor family. And of course, it was made public because, hey, that's the era in which we live, isn't it? And so they write, "We remain committed to providing a loving and caring community for all, including our LGBTQIA+ students, because it is part and parcel of our university's mission that calls us to educate our students with a caring Christian community." Okay. Depends on how you do that, of course. If you never speak out and try to help them escape their entanglement in sin, well, that's not being accepting. That's being cruel. That's not speaking grace and truth. That's not speaking truth in love. And then the next paragraph started to make me go, uh-oh, this is going south. Baylor also continues to strongly uphold the principle of academic freedom. No, you're not just going to try to find a little out. But then along came this paragraph, which I think should make us at least feel a little good for a while. "Please be assured that Baylor's institutional beliefs and policies remain unchanged. Our commitment to our Christian mission and our historic Baptist identity continues to guide our approach to academic student life and spiritual formation." I'm not a fan of that term. "We affirm the biblical understanding of human sexuality as a gift from God." Okay, we're getting warm. "Expressed through purity in singleness." Okay, doing better. "And fidelity in marriage." Yeah. "Between a man and a woman." You did it. Way to go, Baylor University. You did it. So for the moment, let's receive that as good news and hope it doesn't happen again. Good news story number two. It's kind of connected to a bad news story, unfortunately. I was just reading an article in the Christian Post headline, "Professing Christians are more addicted to porn than ever." Survey says, I think these numbers are all low. Honestly, I do. 2024 report, Pure Desire Ministries, 54% of practicing Christians, they consume pornography. I think the number is, but that's all Christians. I think that could even be male and female. Pastors, super big problem. And it's not just men, it's women. 25% of women and 54% of men are said to engage in semi-frequent to habitual porn use. Okay. I'm sorry to say this, but when somebody confesses or they get busted for watching porn and they say, I watch it 2 times a month, just multiply that number times like 50, because they never exaggerate looking at it too much. It's always underrepresented. And how many Christians are willing to fill in some poll admitting that they look at pornography? Statistics show a clear majority of evangelical pastors in the United States have watched pornography at some point in their life. About 20% confess to be currently engaging in it. Frio, where's the good news? Did you hear about Play the Man? We launched this just, I think, about a week ago, give or take. I wrote a booklet called Play the Man. It is helping young men understand that there are better things, and the better things are God things. Because if a man who is digging his porn doesn't have a substitute waiting in the wings to replace his current passions, he's going to return to his former paramour every single time. And so the book is really about the expulsive power of new affections. And it, of course, has the law, it has the gospel, it true and false conversions. But it also, I think, paints a clear picture of what men who are watching porn look like, what they could look like, who they're currently serving and who they could be serving, to give them some. That's what I want. I want Jesus in his way. That is the better thing. That's what the book attempts to accomplish. And along the way, it provides tools, memorizing Bible verses, being genuinely accountable, radical amputation if necessary. If you cannot stop watching porn on your cell phone, throw it in a lake. No, don't throw it in the lake because you'll be tempted to go find it and dive and dredge the bottom of the lake so that you can have your... Smash it. Get rid of the... Cut it off. Pluck out that eye. And if you're not willing to do that, by the way, you're probably in danger. You have got to do radical things. And there are other tools, certainly. And it all should be done in the context of a local church. If it is, if you're not in a local church, dude, you will forever be in danger. And so I wrote the book, got all formatted, real cool and nifty looking. And we've got it. Now we've also recorded it. So we've got an audio and a video version. It's not quite done yet, but it will be come August 1st. And we encouraged you to get the QR code cards that we prepared that we will send to you for free so that you can go to a university campus or wherever young men can be found and pass out a card with a QR code. Here comes the good news. You're doing it. I don't know that I remember seeing 350 folks. I think maybe 400. I don't know. Hundreds of people are committed to distributing these cards. That should be encouraging. That there are individuals willing to go out. Look, it's an effort. It's a thing. You got to go to the campus. You got to figure out the parking. Then you got to deal with that horrible parking system. Man, you know where you got to figure, you got to use your phone for the QR code. And then I think there's something involving Apple Pay as an option, whatever that means. And then you can put in a credit card in your time. Oh, wait a second. You don't know your license plate. Mwahaha, go back in. It's just the most frustrating thing. Yeah, that's a part of going to a campus. And hundreds of people are willing to do it. So salute to them. If you would like to join them, you still can. We're going to be talking about this just during the month of July. That's how you say it in the South. July, like insurance, as opposed to the right way of insurance. July, you can order them for free. They come in packs of 250. We'll even pay for the shipping. All you have to endure is the parking lot QR code nightmare, and you are on your way. By the way, Jimmy, I got to tell you something.
What's that?
With the phone and the technology and everything else, we lost our electricity a few nights ago in the storm.
Oh, at your house. Not while you were preaching.
I love living in the South. I really do. Like you. There was a little delay there for me. Sorry about that. We're sitting in the basement and it was like, bang, it just one popped up and all of a sudden the lights went bloop, 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 boom. And it's like, here we go again. Hey, South, bury the lines. Okay. Learn a little something from the North. Bury the power lines.
I think a lot of my neighborhood's lines are buried.
No.
Uh-huh, they are.
Well, most of Atlanta isn't. And it's really unfortunate because it's a lovely city and the trees, it's just, love this place. But those power lines, and we're losing the electricity, and it was about a 2-hour stint. So, you know, you start thinking about your food going bad, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get food poisoning again, not to make it all about me, but, well, frankly, I think it is. And then we're thinking about the issue, you know, tomorrow, what, we won't even have an alarm clock. Can we get up? And then it was like, what do we do? So I go walking into room, flip the switch on the wall. Oh, yeah. I can't do that either. You can't read a book. You can't. Like the cell service gets knocked out and goofy. It's like, I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. Somebody knocks out the grid. We are in big trouble. We are in big trouble as a nation. And a big part of the problem is people are going to be freaking out because they can't get to their social media. 2 hours for us, and we were kind of climbing the walls. What would happen if we lost the grid? Well, if your electricity is working, order your cards, fortisinstitute.org/playtheman, and join hundreds of people. Here's some more good news for you. Transformed Season 4, Episode 2 dropped. Hey, and just a shout out. We did a video to announce that every single week at FortisPlus.org, it's all free there, and we're dropping a new episode of Transform Season 4. And, you know, I think we maybe made it sound like it could possibly be tabloidish. It's not. It's not. It's real people going through real stuff. This isn't phony drama. These are real people having marital issues that are being counseled by Dr. Lou Priolo. Please check it out. Just check it out and see what you think. We think it's awesome. and we think it's helpful. And the good news is a new episode is available every week. So you can see Ahmad and Tiffany struggling with infidelity and the great Dr. Lou Priolo helping them. Did I mention it's all free? That's good news too. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.